Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. My name is Sanele, the preacher, and this is a different name but the same podcast. We were last week we were water your gift. We still speak the same message. We still speak the same idea. We're still pushing the same word. But I just felt as if I should change the name to inspiration, and I'll tell you why I want to. I have changed it to inspiration, and the reason why I did it that way is because I am so much, deeply desiring to hear the Lord every time I speak. That's what I need, to hear from the Lord every time I speak and not speak my mind and not speak my thoughts. Yes, my experience will come through. Yes, what I've gone through, but I want it to come as the Holy Spirit reveals to me. I don't want to tell you a story and I don't want to end up telling you lies. But so all that I need is to be, it's not happening. At the moment, it is happening, and I want it to continue. So this is more about me than you, because I'm challenging myself that every time I speak here, I should be inspired by the Holy Spirit and not speak on what is mine, not speak my mind. This is not the platform to speak my mind, because I do not have the knowledge enough. I do not have the experience enough. I do not have the education enough to be able to speak to you. And you know, and I'm sure there are some podcasts where they will tell you that this person has a PhD, this person has a master's, this person has this and that and the other. But it's not so with this podcast, which is now called The Inspiration. And the reason why is because all that I want to speak, all that I desire to speak, and what is pushing me to speak, it is the Holy Spirit. It is Christ speaking to me and speaking to you through me. And that's all I want. And as I said, I kept this, the definition of the podcast the same. And the reason why is that I still want to speak to your business. I still want to speak to your marriage. I still want to speak, to your career. I still want to speak to so many different things in your life, because the word is can be utilized fully in our lives. The word can be utilized fully in our lives. It's not just, it's not just a religious thing. It's not just something that you use to perform rituals or observe Shabbat, but it is full of life. It is full of life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by each and every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. And that's what I just want to share with you, because I am so much amazed, I am so much fascinated, I am so much, changed by the word. I am changed by the word. I am changed by the principles and the precepts of God, and I want to share that with you. But I don't want me to share that with you from my own perspective. I want the Lord to share that with you himself through me. And that's why I'm saying it's an inspiration, which means that this is inspired by the living God. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let's get into it. Today, we are going straight to the word. Having shared with you what I called last week, blessed but troubled. So I thought, let me share this message as well, and the experience that I've learned from this message, sort of like the part two of last week's message, And as I told you last week, I'm not going to give this a title because I have so many titles in my mind right now, but I don't want to give you a title. I will let the message play. I will let the Holy Spirit intervene as I speak to you today, and then I will make the title of this episode today. Let's get into it. My name is Sanele, the preacher. Thank you so much for listening. Yes. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. How do we define the presence of the Lord into our lives? Some people, and I've seen this even in the church and outside of the church, that when good things happen, to people, when good things happen to people, people begin to say that, oh, I saw the hand of the Lord. Oh, I saw that God was with me. I saw that God is indeed alive. On that day, it was a proof that God was alive when I was saved from the car accident. So when I was saved from this, when I did not get retrained, when my business started making money and became profitable, when I saw, you know, the miracles even in my marriage, when the doctors have said that I will not survive, then I did, because, you know, someone spoke a word or someone prayed for me, or because I continued to believe in the Lord and I saw the Lord moving into my life. And I know from that time that the Lord is with me. But that does, is that what really define the presence of the Lord? As you can see, I'm very excited. I'm not excited because, you know, everything is going well. I'm not excited because, you know, I'm excited because of the weight. I'm not excited because, you know, everything is just easy in life. No, but I'm excited because of the weight, because the weight is life to me. That's what Peter said, where else can you go? Because the words of life are found in you. And Jesus said, you know, a man cannot live by bread alone, by each and every word that proceed out of his mouth, out of the mouth of God. So my life, my excitement just come from the Lord. Just come from the Lord, you know. I'm so much inspired by the Lord. So I want to speak about that. I will get a scripture, but I know that I'll be diverse. I'll be expanded as much as, you know, the Holy Spirit wills, as much as the Holy Spirit, you know, directs us, as much as the Holy Spirit want us to take to. And I want to share with you a biblical story yes. I didn't want to say story. I wanted to find another name for that, but let's use the term story, even though it's a true story. I will share with you what is happening here, and then I will read a couple of verses, because the full content is in the chapter, but I cannot read the whole chapter because of time. Now, Jesus had been speaking to a rich person, a young rich person. And this rich person said, what can I do to obtain the kingdom of God? You know, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus spoke about the commandments. And he said, you know, you need to keep the commandments. Do keep the commandments. And he said, oh, no, I did keep all the commandments. And he gave him, you know, a couple of them. He said, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and etc., etc. And he said, no, I kept all of them in my youth. What else do I need to do? And Jesus said, well, now that you have done all that, let us go to the second step of it. Sell everything that you have and come follow me. And he said, it's about following me that you will obtain or inherit the eternal life. And he said, no. You know how much rich I am? Well, that's not what the Bible says, but something like that. He did not. He was disappointed from what Jesus said. And the reason why he was disappointed is because Jesus was saying to him, you know, sell everything, and he was rich. And Jesus began to tell them, so can you see it is so hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God? He says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were so troubled about this, you know, and the disciples themselves, they were so troubled about this, and they did not say anything. But you can see from Peter's statement, because Peter was the one who was always speaking and saying, well, now that you are here, let's speak about it. No one else would speak, but Peter was like a spokesperson. And Peter said to Jesus, because Peter was straightforward, and Peter loved Jesus, so he couldn't withhold anything from Jesus. That's what you do to the people that you love. You do not withhold things. You tell them the truth as it is. And Peter is one of those people who said to Jesus, no. You will not be crucified. No. Nothing like that should happen to you. And he pulled him aside. But he did not understand that this was already approved in heaven. And, you know, Jesus called him out as well and said, you are standing in my way, devil. Get thee behind me, you know, and all those kind of things. But it shows us that Peter, you know, was that kind of a person who's you know, who I won't say confrontational, but he was straightforward. Let me put it that way. He was just straightforward. He said, okay, this is what is happening. So, yeah. And we hear Peter, when I read this now, and I'll read just a couple of verses, maybe up to verse 30 or verse 31. Read with me, Mark chapter 10, and I will read from, from verse 28 to 31. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? As you can see, everyone is just worried and say, well, if it is so hard to be saved, who is then can be saved? You know, as Jesus was saying all this, he says, who then can be saved? And Peter is straightforward. It does not ask for the requirement. It does not ask for, you know, what then should we do? He says, we have left everything and followed thee, and you're saying that we might be in a position of not entering the kingdom of God. What do you mean, Jesus? And then Jesus replies to him, and he says, well, let's put it this way. There is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or sisters or father or mother, wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Let's speak about this today. Let's speak about this today after we have spoken about the fact that you feel like you are blessed but troubled. And these men thought that they were blessed following Jesus, and now Jesus is giving this hard truth, this hard saying, and like, then who can be saved? If it's so difficult, who can? And Peter is like, you know what? I left everything. And we know that Peter had a wife, so he left his own house, unlike others maybe who were not married yet. You know, Peter was like, no, I left my wife. Probably maybe he had even children. He's like, I left my children. And you know this because you came to my house and healed my mother-in-law. So what do you mean? And Jesus began to explain. He said, you, no man who have lost the house, no man who have left his house, no man who have left his family, no man who have left his brothers, his sisters, no man who have left his mother and his father, no man, no woman who have left his children and the land and the business and the job like me, you get what I'm saying? And all those kinds of things for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. In other words, it's saying that you will, whatever that you have not lost it in vain. Whatever that you might have lost for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel, you have not lost it in vain. I got excited. I read this in December, and I got excited when I was just there where he says that you receive a hundredfold. I had already been praying for the hundredfold, and I said, this comes back. That means I'm about to receive the hundredfold. Remember that the Bible said that about Isaac that he sowed in the land, and in the same year he received 100-fold. That word was in my heart since 2022, and I've been saying to the Lord, I'm continuously praying for the 100-fold. I'm continuously praying for the 100-fold. And now in December last year, it comes back to me, and I got so much excited when I heard this. Now, speaking about the presence of the Lord, do not get lost. As soon as I'm going somewhere else, but we're speaking about the presence of the Lord. Now, and I said, you know, I got excited. I said, oh, well, I guess then the 100-fold is coming, and it's coming too soon. And the Holy Spirit, while I was so much excited about this, the Holy Spirit said to me, continue reading, my son. The Lord Jesus said, continue reading. I know that you're excited and you will receive 100-fold. I believe the Lord for the 100-fold. And in terms of the revelations that God has given to me, I think I've received much more than 100-fold. And now I'm just awaiting the 100-fold in material, because I know that the Lord will bless me with that as well. The Bible tells us that Abraham, who was called by the Lord, Isaac and Jacob were wealthy. God blessed them abundantly, and I truly, truly believe the Lord for my life as well about that. So let's continue, you know, reading here. And I got so much excited when the Lord spoke about the 100-fold, because it was something on the back of my mind, even though I've been waiting and not seeing it manifesting in material. But I've already seen, as I look at my life, you know, a big chunk and more than 100-fold in terms of spiritual growth, you know, in terms of spiritual understanding, in terms of spiritual blessings. And I truly, truly believe that the blessing, the good blessings, or the blessings that come from the Lord, they come first in the spirit, because God wants to make sure that you are ready, because God wants to make sure that you are ready for his blessing in the material. He won't bless you with the blessing that you have not received in the spirit, because you will trample over it and curse him and turn around and curse him while he has blessed you. But if he do it in the spirit first, then you, when it comes in the natural, you already know what to do with it. You won't blow it out, you won't blow it up, you won't turn around and insult the Lord, but then you'll appreciate it and then do what is necessary. And then, this is what I want to say, and worship the Lord with the blessing. Every blessing that you receive as the children of the living God, we need to worship him back with it. Worship the Lord with his blessings. Right, let's continue reading. As the Holy Spirit led me, when I got so much excited about the fact that the Bible says, you know, he shall receive 100-fold now, which means that 100 times blessing from what you lost. Whew. If you have lost R1,000, $1,000, God is saying, I will pay unto you, oh my Jesus, $100,000. He's saying, I'm going to give you 100 times what you lost. But here we go now, as we speak about the presence. And then he begins to count the time, the houses, you know, brothers and sisters, mothers, children, lands. And he says, with persecution. Come on. Oh, yes. With persecution. So God is saying, I'm going to bless you, but my blessing is going to go with persecution. my blessing is coming with persecution. I'm going to bless you, but it is coming with persecution, because God has to continually, oh, I didn't know this, and now the Holy Spirit is revealing to me. Thank you, Lord. And because God is continually sharpening you, because God is continually putting you into training to take you from one dimension of life to another, to take you from one growth to another. He doesn't want you to be complacent. He doesn't want you to just, you know, to remain in the same place. He wants you to grow. When people that saw you last year and they see you now, they will say, well, it's like we've seen you 10 years ago. Why? Because God has grown you, because God has blessed you. And the blessing that he blesses you, even in the space of the year, looks like a blessing that people receive from working hard, from applying the methods of the world that takes 100 years, but God blesses you with the blessing, with the same blessing in 1 year. And we get that proof from Isaac, as the Bible says, that he sowed in the same year he received 100-fold. He sowed in the same year he received 100-fold. But God is saying, my blessing comes with persecution. And I know this is one of the things that we least, it is a promise that we least accept. But it is also, like any other promise of the living God, a promise of God. So you cannot say, well, I'm going to take this, but I'm not going to take that. You know, it says with. It does not say all. It does not say might. It says with. It said, I will surely bless you with the 100-fold with persecution. And we have seen the persecution in the Bible. We have seen Peter was persecuted. Paul was persecuted. All the disciples, I don't even want to call them name by name, all of the apostles, they were all persecuted. So, but they were also blessed. They really, really received the 100-fold. When Jesus met them, when Jesus met them, they were, I don't want to say nobody, but they were just, you know, average men in the community. They were just fishermen. And Jesus said, I'm coming. I've come to give you a promotion. In other words, our lives mean supposed to be like that. When we meet the Lord, he must give us some elevation. He must give us some sort of promotion. You know, I know sometimes the things that we go through, it's like we are not being promoted. It's like we are losing more. It's like we are being demoted. But God is like, God will be doing something like this. He's like, I'm preparing you for my blessing. And I don't want you to say, well, God found me at 10th floor. And then he took me to the 20th floor. And you get what I'm saying? He wants to say, God took me from nothing to something. He doesn't want you to give yourself the glory. But let's speak about persecution. The Holy Spirit is just intervening to just make sure that I'm bringing even the inspirational word. I'm bringing even an inspirational word unto you this morning, as God allows us, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, God is good. Now, as I was reading this, I want to share this story with you. As I was reading this, and I said, oh, well, this is less, you know, exciting, because I was only excited about the 100-fold. And then when you said with persecution, I was like, oh, that is less exciting. But the Lord makes sure that, you know, I understand and fully understand this. That when I see the persecution, it does not mean that the present, that his presence is no longer with me. He had to make sure that when I see the trouble, because he's giving me his promise that I will be persecuted. He gave us the promise that in this world we will still be troubled, but we should not take it to heart, because he has overcame it. You know, the Bible do say that no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. So those kinds of persecution, those kinds of trouble, they are there to show that there are weapons that are formed against us, because we are the children of God, but they will not prosper. I read a verse today that said, you know, those who depart from evil ways are made or make themselves prey. So if you begin to worship the Lord and obey the Lord, then you become a prey to the devil. You become a prey, you know, to the wolves who are used by the devil. You become a prey to the things that will continuously hunt your soul, hunt your body, hunt, you know, your spirit. Because we've got an enemy out there. But as I received this, I said, Lord, this is your command. This is your promise. But I will never forget that, you know, It is coming with it is coming. The persecutions are coming with the hundredfold that you have promised unto me. Right? And then in that same week, as if God was just waiting for me to read this and then understand it. And I truly believe that he did, you know, wanted me to understand it. And in that week, one of my sons was not feeling well. Well, in that week, I was told that one of my sons is not well because they've gone before me and I was finishing some other things and I was going to follow them to the holiday. And then I was told that one of them is not feeling well. And I didn't think that was a big thing. I thought, oh, man, well, might be the flu, might be, you know, a stomach bug or whatever. But when I said, you know what, let me just go down. Let me just hurry up and get there so that I can see him. And when I got there, I saw that he was very, very sick. I began to pray for him and trusted God that everything is just going to go well because I'm here now and the Lord is with me and I've prayed and everything else. But it became worse the following day. They had already taken him to the doctor. So I said, well, I still trust God. I continued to pray. I continued, you know, which continued to give him some medicine. And we took him to the back to the doctor or a different doctor, and he gave us something else. And we hope that everything was going to go well. But it only became worse. And then, not only that, another one. Now, there's two of them sick now. And then we find out where it was the water. You know, we've got this water situation here in South Africa that, you know, we just run out of water. And then when it comes back unclean and, you know, and affect and upset our stomach. And, you know, can even, there was a story where people even died. So I'm in that position now, you know. And the devil kept on giving me the fear, saying that, you know, people died because of the water situation. And you know, your children now are not very well. On the 24th of December, which is the day before Christmas, one of the biggest day in the Christian community, we had to rush them to the hospital. And they were admitted with their mother and my wife's sister. So I spent the Christmas alone. And I'm saying, Lord, how can this happen to me, your child? How can this happen to me, the one who worships you? How can this happen to me? Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And the Lord reminded me this scripture. And he said, what did I say to you a few weeks ago? What did I say to you a few days ago? So not a few weeks, a few days ago. What did I say to you? And I said, Lord, you said you have blessed me with the hundredfold, but with persecution. And he said, exactly. It does not mean that I've forsaken you. You just have to go through the persecution. And I was busy preparing for my children to go to the hospital, but in my heart, you know, was filled with strength. I was comforted. Why? Not because my children were getting better. Not because, you know, I had hope that I would not spend the Christmas alone. That wasn't the hope, excuse me. And that wasn't the hope. But what gave me the strength is that the Lord was with me in the midst of the pain. Is that the Lord was with me in the fire. Is that the Lord carried me in the storm. Because God was saying, I require much faith from you. And the kind of faith that I require from you is the kind of faith where you sleep in the storm. Just like the Lord Jesus slept in the storm. He said, I'm transferring that back to you. Because in the past time, when you will go through trouble in the past time when you'll be persecuted. You will be confused. You'll be frustrated. You'll even get beaten. Why? Because you did not understand why you had to go through what you are going through. But now I am revealing to you that the reason why you're going through such this pain is that I'm preparing you for something better. Is that I'm preparing you to handle the hundredfold. And now I want you to sleep in the storm. Can you sleep in the storm? That's what he was asking me, to sleep in the storm, just like he slept in the storm. And I want to tell you that I wasn't happy that with the fact that my children were in the hospital. I wasn't happy with the fact that, you know, I had to spend Christmas alone. I wasn't happy that, you know, I'm not in control. I wasn't happy that my wife, I'm spending Christmas without my wife in a couple of days. I wasn't happy about all those things, but I slept at night. I slept at night. I'm telling you, I didn't have insomnia. Not because I was happy. Yes, I was going through things, but because I knew that we were not alone. I knew that we are not alone. Should we then only prove the existence and the presence of the Lord when everything is going well? No. Our God is always with us. Whether we are troubled, whether we are persecuted, or whether we are victorious, whether we are in the valley or on top of the mountain, He is always with us. Whether we're walking through the veil of the shadow of death, or walking in the noonday, in the light of the day on top of the mountain, He is still God. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because your business is profitable. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because you got a promotion. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because, you know, everything is going well in your marriage. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because everyone is cheering and loving you. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because everyone loves you and everyone recommends you for something, or for your business, or for your career, or for your craft. And the presence of the Lord is not proven just because you are happy in your relationship. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because you have obtained a qualification and you are graduating. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because you have gotten the car that you're praying for. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because you've gotten the mortgage. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because you have gotten to be able to buy things in cash. The presence of the Lord is not proven just because you're able to pay up your debt. The presence of the Lord is proven also when you are in pain. When you're sick and you do not know why do you have to be sick. Well, oh my God, the presence of the Lord is not subject to your happiness. But God is omnipresent. And if you only recognize the Lord in triumph, that you have not come to really know the Lord. Your deepest relationship with the Lord is to see the Lord in your stress. Is to see the Lord in your pain, is to see the Lord when you're crying, is to see the Lord when everyone else is leaving, is to see the Lord when everyone else is think or calls you fool, is to see the Lord when everything seems to be against you. There was someone who sang a song and he said, he saw the best in me when everyone else saw the worst. When everyone else saw the worst, you must see the presence of the Lord. You know, when we grew up, people used to say, well, the Lord do speak and the Lord do respond, but he does not respond like anybody else. He does not respond like human beings. He responds with action. So what did that mean? It means that if you do not see any action, then the Lord did not respond. Or the Lord is not speaking to you. But you need to see the Lord and hear him, even in the midst of persecution. And this is what is in my heart. To say, the trouble does not mean that God is not there. As long as you know that your part is fine. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, when you are facing things that are the result of your wickedness, that are the result of your weaknesses, that you continuously pampering them because you don't want to fix them, then you say, well, God is still with me, and this is just a little hiccup. If there's anything that you know that you must fix it. If there's anything that you know that you must get it right, get it right. Get it right. Don't you know, as the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that the blessings, as much as the blessings are tied to or built in the obedience of the Lord, so are the curses built in, tied to the disobedience of the Lord. I could not see the miracles of the Lord when I was busy fornicating. I remember in 2016 when I lost my daughter, and I want to say this even though it may hurt some people, but it is the truth that the Lord has revealed to me. You know, God is always justified in his judgment. God is always, I don't know how am I getting there, but the Holy Spirit is leading me, so I will speak. In 2016, and I said, well, I have not been doing the right things. I've been busy here, you know, doing the wrong things. I've been busy here fornicating. I've been busy here entertaining the sin. I've been busy here saying that, well, you know, I want to get over the fornication, but, you know, the fruit of the Spirit take time. Who said the fruit of the Spirit take time? Who said? You see, our problem is that we take everything and we naturalize it. We make it as if it looks like the nature. You know, God said these are the fruit of the Spirit, not the natural fruits that you have to sow a seed and wait for it. He said, these are the fruit of the Spirit. What is of the Spirit comes complete. It does not come in part. The Spirit, come on. Stop lagging. Stop, you know, giving yourself a leeway and taking your sweet time confronting the sin, taking your sweet time, you know, dealing with that sin, taking your sweet time, you know, talking to the Lord, asking him to help you with that sin. You're busy saying, well, the fruit of the Spirit take time. So maybe, you know, I'm still trying to make sure that I get over this anger. But obviously it's going to take time because the fruit of the Spirit, which is the goodness, which is the faithfulness, which is the patience, which is, you know, I know I'm not patient right now, but it takes time. I'm not, you know, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive a full package. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the full package. God does not give you a seed through the Holy Spirit. Come on. God does not give you a seed. He can give you a seed about other things, but he does not give you a seed through the Holy Spirit. He gives you a full package, a complete. Let me give you an example. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 that they received the Holy Spirit. And when they received the Holy Spirit, immediately they began to speak in tongues. Like, come on. They began to speak in tongues immediately. That it did not take a week. It did not take a month. It did not take a year. Because they would have said, well, this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift needs to take time. You know, Peter, the same Peter who 50 days ago, or how many days ago, a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, was fearful and ran away, stood up. Now he is bold because of the Holy Spirit. The Bible does not tell us that they received the Holy Spirit. And in a couple of weeks, they began to speak in tongues. And in a couple of months, they began to be bold and stand before the people. They did that immediately, because when you receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he is fully complete. He does not come to you as a baby. He does not come to you as a baby. He does not come to you as a baby. He comes fully complete. I'll go back. I know that I've already shared this in one of the podcasts, but God is taking me back to it. So, I was busy nursing my fornication, and I had a daughter, and my daughter died, you know, within a month. And I said, well, maybe it's because of my fornication. And I think I was right. You know, God is gracious, but you should not misuse the grace. God is gracious, But Paul said that, should we now continue to sin so that grace will abound? And he said, certainly not. And he said, certainly not. Certainly not. And we fall short of his grace. We've fallen short of his grace because of our doings. I'll be straightforward and preach the gospel as it is, even if you won't receive it. But I'm doing what the Holy Spirit has sent me. So if you know that there are the fruit of the flesh that you're dealing with, do not just say, do not exempt yourself, do not put it away and say, oh, well, it's one of those tests. Sometimes it's not the test. Sometimes it is the curse that is built in disobedience, because that's what the Bible says. And God chastises those whom he loves. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Chastise those whom he loves. Maybe God was chastising me because I was busy still holding on the job and say, oh Lord, if you want to make me successful through this job, and then I'll leave it when I see the millions coming to my accounts. And God said, I will chastise you. I'll make sure that your children are sick so that you realize, so that you come and do what I'm calling you to do. God can still do that. Yes, he's gracious, but he can still do that. When God gives you a promise, you must adhere to. God is King. God is Lord. God is the Father. God is not your employee. You don't just say, God, do this, and it just follows you. We, the ones who are supposed to follow God, it is his will that triumphs, not our will. When God says, come, let us reason together, it does not mean that you'll get your way. He does not say, come, so that I can give you a way, so that you can continue fornicating, so that you can continue committing adultery, so that you can continue with that filthy language, so that you can continue, you know, with drunkenness, so that you can continue with uncleanness, so that you can continue with lasciviousness, so that you can continue with idolatry, and continue with witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and wrath and strife and seditions and heresies and envies and murderers and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like. No, he said, let us reason so that I will give you the way to do these things correctly. Let us reason so that I can help you forsake your ways. He said, we are his workmanship. We work with him together. He said, come, let us work together. Let us reason so that I can tell you how to do it. He was speaking to people, not the people that were not doing nothing, people that were already praying, people that were already calling his name. He said, come, let us reason, because you're doing it wrong. I cannot hear your prayers because you're doing it wrong. You're doing it in your own way. I didn't mean to preach. I just wanted to share the message that God gave unto me. So you should be careful about these things. Don't just say, well, these are the persecution. Look at your life as well. Sometimes persecution comes as a chastisement. God is chastening us to say, because I love you so much and I want you to stop doing that, so let me do this. He did the same thing to David. David lost the baby that was conceived in sin. So God, as long as he loves us, he'll chastise us. And some of the persecutions are to strengthen our faith, but others are to correct us. So don't just accept and say, this is what is happening. And God will show you, as long as you seek to understand, God will reveal it to you. God will reveal it to you. As long as you seek to understand, God will reveal it to you. But if you do not seek to understand and just say, oh, I will just continue doing what I want to do, I'll continue with my craft, you know, I'll continue doing the things that I did, and maybe God will change his mind. God is not going to change his mind. You must change your mind and adopt God's will and make God's will your will. So seek. You know, in the last couple of years, I've been just living and just, okay, this is what God says. Okay, let me just continue doing the right thing. But I was getting the same result. And this same result is the result that I do not desire. And I paused and I said, well, what am I doing wrong? Let me try to unlearn things and ask God for the understanding. Because I'm coming to God with the church things. And I'm not against the church. I go to church as well. I go to church as well. But sometimes, you know, we learn so much and some of the things that we learn are just people's opinion that are not scriptural, that are not biblical. We must just test all spirits and test all teachings, because a teaching is like a yeast that gives you the shape and the direction. So every time you are persecuted, every time you are tested, every time you are tried, every time you feel like you're in trouble, just seek to understand. Is it because, God, you want to teach me something? And you always teach you something either way, whether there's a sin that you are busy with and God wants you to stop it, you will still get a lesson over and above being corrected. Listen to what Paul is saying. So I'm giving you both options. I'm not contradicting myself. No, I'm giving you both options, both sides of the coin, so that you make sure. Because sometimes we can face things and just accept it as God's will, but not fully, you know, not fully understanding it, not fully looking into it, not fully asking the right questions and say, why am I going through this? And every time a brethren will go through something, other brethren will begin to say, oh, God is with you. You'll come out strong. And then they block you from really learning from the experience, because you're like, oh, then I must be strong. And when you do not become stronger than you were, you begin to be bitter against the Lord instead of being bitter against those who have given you the wrong teaching. There's so much false teaching out there, and some of them comes from the good heart. It's just that obviously, if it's not from the Lord, it is wrong. It is false. Because everyone is quick to say, oh, you are powerful. Oh, no. They said that when I was losing my children. But listen to what Paul is saying here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says now, from verse 11, I'll read from verse 11 to verse, let me try to not go far as verse 10, because we're already too far out of time, as always. But God is good, and God is good all the time. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Excuse me. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. But can you hear Paul, what Paul is saying? He said, well, I take glory. Other versions will say, I boast in pain. I boast in persecution. I boast in distresses for Christ's sake. But he first gives us the explanation why he had to go through what he had to go through. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So that I do not become conceited. So that I do not become conceited, because God is revealing so many things to me. It was sent to me, someone who will humble me. A messenger from Satan to buffet me. Lest I become exalted or conceited above measure. He understands the reason why he had to go through what he went through. So each and every time you face something, seek the understanding. Is it because God wants you to be humble enough and remain humble? Is it because God is strengthening your faith, just like what happened to to Joseph inside the prison, inside the prison, just like what happened to Joseph being betrayed by his own brothers, that is channeling you to your miracle, that is channeling you to your breakthrough, or it is a David story where he sees that you have gone astray and want to put you back with the persecution. And I went through both of these things and all of these things. At times it was the strengthening of my faith. At times God was teaching me something. At times it was the fact that I was busy in sin and God wanted me and he loves me so much. And he said, I want you to come back. But then because you keep on saying that you'll fix it, and you do not fix it, I will fix it for you. I will fix it for you with persecution. I will fix it for you. I'm helping you here because I love you. I do not know what is today's title for the message. God help us. I will find something as I pray. That what was in my heart and more. Some of the things I didn't even plan to say, but God wanted to speak to you. He knows your struggle. He knows where you're supposed to be. He knows where he's channeling you to. He knows what you need. And don't just look at me as a man and say, Sana does not understand. Don't look at me and say, well, that's you. That's your truth. It's not my truth. This is the truth of God. This is what God is saying. We should be careful of that my truth, his truth. This is the truth of God. I might have shared some of my stories, but most of it came from the Lord. And even the stories that I shared, it is God who was saying to me, share this story. You know your struggle, share this story so that they see that I can exalt a man. I no longer struggle with fornication. I no longer struggle with adultery. Every time something comes up, I know and I say, this is it. No, I cannot. Help me, Holy Spirit. Even if I'm pretending as if I do not see it, and like, oh no, it won't even get there. The Holy Spirit convict me. You know, I've grown into understanding the Lord in such a way that the Holy Spirit will not wait for me to commit adultery or wait for me to be involved into anything that is a sin, but he will tell me when I just get up and go there, or when that thought passes my mind, he will say, that's the wrong thought. That when he judges me after I've done it, he is justified because he did not just wait for me to do it. He told me before I did it, and even if I go and do it, he will tell me in the midst of the thing, say, stop it. And then if I continue, then he will judge me. Then he will have to chastise me. Chastisement is good. And I'm continuing speaking about chastisement because yesterday I was preaching on Hebrews chapter 12. If you've got time, go and read. The Lord will strengthen you and direct you accordingly. And this is Inspiration with Sanele, the preacher. May God richly bless you. He loves you. He loves you, loves you, loves you. God loves us. I just want to say this. You know, maybe I said it from a point of fun, but God really, really loves you. I don't know. Like, I wish I had words to really express that. But God loves you. The fact that you're listening to this, God loves you. God really, really loves you. And he cares about you. And he wants you to prosper. And he wants you to worship and praise him and obey him. He wants you to see you happy. He has given you the joy. He has given you the love. All these things are received through the Holy Spirit. May God richly bless you in the mighty name of Jesus.